Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Thursday, January 19th, 2023. I'm Naima Latif, and today we bring you an update on the Chicago mayoral race. Earlier this week, candidates met for a forum, and many sought to distinguish themselves from their opponents. Mayor Lori Lightfoot was present, and candidates felt the need to address her failings and assert their expected successes if elected mayor. So we will join that discussion and hear a bit of the candidates who are running for mayor of the city of Chicago.
Dr. King spoke here on July 22nd, 1957, which was our 110th church anniversary. He came an additional two more times, but his friend, Reverend Archibald Carey Jr., was a senior pastor here. He was an alderman in the third ward. He used to pastor Woodlawn AME Church before he came to Quinn to pastor here. I bring up Archibald Carey Jr., who there's a bell in the back that was in our bell tower that his family left, to say this. In this thing called life, you're going to have people who you call friend along the way. We all heard Dr. King from the Washington Mall, where he encouraged us to let freedom ring from this mountaintop and that mountaintop and this one and that one. Well, I want to tell you, our friend Dilla, the TikTok historian, says everything cool about America comes from Chicago. Dr. King borrowed that crescendo about going to this mountain and that mountain from the Reverend Archibald Carey Jr., who was his friend. Some 11 years before being on the mall at the Washington Monument, Archibald Carey says that from the Republican National Convention here in the city of Chicago. So I'm encouraging all of you, if we think about Dr. King's legacy, what's changed since he was here? Not much. Not much has changed since he was here last, but you all have an opportunity to make change. And so whoever ends up in that seat, use it wisely, because God will ask what you did when you had it. Amen.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Reverend Ben Brown from Bethel AME.
Thank you. To the forum, to my fellow brothers and sisters, citizens of Chicago, I greet you in the mighty, matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I want to thank the forum for this opportunity to host such an event, a wonderful event that's needed. Bethel was unable, due to that big freeze that we had, to host. Called on my brother, Reverend Vinning, who picked up the pieces right away, and we were able to have this event. Praise the Lord for it. We thank you so very much. I believe it.
May I see your criminology degree? Do you have one?
I'm sorry.
Oh, we've got a. Are you a biologist?
Are you from an expert?
Tony Brown Jackson.
Was Martin Luther King who said, "We will live as brothers, or we will perish as fools." There's a lot of division in our nation right now. That goes from the federal government all the way down to the municipalities. There's a problem in our nation when you can lie, get to Congress, everybody know it, and you can't do nothing about it. So it is my prayer, it's my fervent prayer that whatever, whoever, whichever, takes power here in this city, that we would work together to build a better Chicago. Not a north side, not a south side. Not a west side, and you can argue about it. Regardless of Chicago altogether. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Reverend Ben Brown. Our next speaker is Dr. Barbara J. Norman. Dr. Barbara J. Norman, she is the former Chicago Deputy Health Commissioner under Mayor Harold Washington, and she also was a captain of the U.S. Army during the Vietnam War.
Thank you so much, Reverend Denning and Reverend Brown, and to all of you that are here. It's an honor to participate. I see on the schedule my role is to share with you the history, our goal, our mission. I see the timer. I have a minute to go. So basically, just briefly, how did we come together with this, prepare for this forum? It was 2 years ago as president of the American Public Health Association. We're in attendance at a meeting where several doctors from World Health Organization and from China and from Switzerland were there discussing this unusual number of patients that were being seen in their clinics. All of them were sharing similar signs and symptoms of respiratory distress, difficulty breathing, tiredness, wet. This is in November of 2019. When we left that conference coming back to Chicago, at the time, it did not have a name. In December of 2019, the name was formulated. It was called COVID. COVID-19, that all of us been affected one way or another, directly or indirectly. First case that observed and diagnosed in Chicago was in January of 2020. We know the rest. We know the number of patients that we were seeing were primarily African Americans, people of color, those that we believed did not have the resources and services in order to treat our clients. It was later in coming to my mission. Why did we get together? We're a group of multi-ethnic, multicultural, intergenerational, that's me, representative of our people, of our community. Our purpose of coming together, the mission, the goal, is to help the city of Chicago to decrease the use of public dollars, use it for privatizing groups and organizations throughout our city. And the purpose of our meeting today, and identify the candidates, or at least to hear their response as to what they can do to help our people to improve the quality of life. And I thank you for being here. I'm raised in a church, so you know it's hard to keep me to 2 minutes, but I will abide to the rules and regulations. Thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Norman. Our next speaker is Dr. Howard Ehrman. Dr. Howard Ehrman worked under the Chicago Department of Public Health as the Assistant Deputy Commissioner.
Thank you very much, Lynette. First, I want to thank Reverend Denning and Reverend Brown for making these incredible arrangements at the last minute. In 1989, Mayor Richard M. Daley stated publicly, there are too many poor people in Chicago. Since then, no city is destroyed, closed, cut, and privatized. More public services, housing, public jobs, and sold more public land than Chicago. 25,000 CHA units were bulldozed. LeClaire Courts, Ambla, Stateway Gardens, Green and Green. And thousands of those families are still living in Des Moines, Iowa, Rockford, Quad Cities, waiting to come back to Chicago with a letter in their hand telling them, with our city dollars, our tax money that we've worked hard for. In 1997, 1998, the CTA had the greatest service cuts in history, cutting 20% of the bus service in 1997, including a lot of overnight routes. And then in 1998, cutting overnight service on what is now the Green Line, the Pink Line, and the Brown Line. No city and county's public health department was cut more. When we left, there were 2,000 people in 1991. There were 57 facilities, including 19, that's 19 mental health centers. Now there are 600 people, 13 facilities, and 5 understaffed health centers. We can continue going on the line, but I think you get the point. We are here to hear what the candidates have to say, but regardless of what they say, we are here to rebuild the people's movement in the spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Thank you very much.
This is Juvederm. My name is Joanna. I'm from Colombia. They did my last one.
And these are some of the introductory comments to the mayoral forum held earlier this week as the nation celebrated the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It was a time to reflect on many of the issues that cities across America still face, in particular the city of Chicago. So upcoming is the introduction of the candidates who are presently running. There are 9 candidates running for mayor of the city of Chicago. First, Cam Buckner. Cam Buckner is an Illinois state representative, a Democrat from Chicago, who represents a district that extends from Chicago's Gold Coast to the South Shore. Next is Jesus Chuy Garcia. Jesus Garcia is a U.S. representative, a Democrat who represents the Illinois 4th Congressional District, is known well in Chicago politics and education, having also served as alderman and Cook County Commissioner, as well as Illinois State Senator. Next is Jamal Green. After dropping out of the mayoral race in 2019, activist Jamal Green will be listed at the top of the ballot in 2023. He's also the youngest candidate at age 27. Brandon Johnson. Brandon Johnson is a Cook County commissioner who entered the mayoral race last fall with endorsements from the Chicago Teachers Union and other independent political organizations. Sophia King. Sophia King is alderman of the 4th Ward and represents many of the same South Lakefront neighborhoods as Cam Buckner does on Chicago's City Council. She was appointed to the seat in 2016 by the then Mayor Rahm Emanuel and went on to win re-election in 2019. Lori Lightfoot. Lori Lightfoot, of course, is the current mayor of the City of Chicago and in 2019 unveiled a 15-point education plan to transform Chicago public schools. Next, Roderick Sawyer. Roderick Sawyer is alderman of the 6th Ward and has served for over a decade after being elected in 2011 to represent Southside neighborhoods, including Chatham, Greater Grand Crossing, and Auburn Gresham. Next, Paul Vallis. Paul Vallis is a familiar name to Chicagoans, particularly those in education. Paul Vallis ran Chicago Public Schools from 1995 to 2001. Taking the helm after the state legislature gave control of the school system to the then Mayor Richard M. Daley. Next is Willie Wilson. Dr. Willie Wilson, a high-profile businessman, launched his campaign for mayor last spring. His campaign focuses on rebuilding from the pandemic through educational grants, trade, and business recovery. And these are the 9 candidates running for mayor of the city of Chicago. And they are making an effort to distinguish themselves some who have run before, some who are running for the first time, to those who are looking to make a difference, some who are seeking a change, and will return to the comments at the People's Response Network 2023 Chicago Mayoral Forum.
Thank you so much. So we're about to begin the question section for our mayoral candidates, but right before we begin, Lieutenant Gregory Jackson would like to give us some house rules. Lieutenant Jackson.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to try that again. That was a little lukewarm. Good afternoon. All right. I think Pastor Troy has already touched on most of the things, but, again, housekeeping, due to the climate that we're operating in, we request that you keep your mask on and please govern your brother or sister next to you. In addition to that, be aware of the exit signs. Bathrooms are to my immediate left, to your right. Men and women, if you need anything, multiple individuals are floating around. Just don't hesitate to ask. Thank you for coming out.
Thank you so much. Now we're going to begin our questions for the mayoral candidates. Right before we begin, each candidate will be asked one question by each panelist, and the candidates will have 75 seconds. Erin, right here, she's our designated time person, and she's going to hold up at 30 seconds and at 15 seconds. Thank you so much. So I'm going to ask the first question to the candidates. My question is regard to lead pipes. As mayor, what will you do to replace the 400,000 Chicago lead water pipes, more than any city in the country? In Chicago, black, brown, Asian residents are twice as likely to live in communities with lead water pipes. 95% of the lead water pipes in the state are in black and brown communities, and that's regardless of income. What will you do to help residents and businesses pay to replace lead water pipes? Do you pledge to hire Chicago public union workers from our communities most affected to replace the lead pipes? Yes or no? And if so, when, how, what, and why? And the first question is for State Representative Cam Buckner.
Aren't you tired of the same old boring lives?
Let's go to the Super Bowl.
I'm in.
There it is. Good afternoon. Thank you for that question. And so the first thing I'll say is that the lead pipe issue in the city is a real one that we have to find a way to solve. The previous administration pretended as if it was not an issue. This administration has acknowledged it, but they failed to do anything about it. We do have more lead service pipes than any other city in this country. And I know that the question asks, what will we do to help residents pay for it? I think that's the wrong question. Residents should have to pay for this at all. This is a city issue. And the reason that it's a city issue is because up until 1986, the city code required that we use lead service pipes for all of our buildings, right? So this is an issue that the city created and the city should be paying for. We need to cut up the city into triage zones and figure out what areas need the most remediation quickly. We also need to provide filters to homes that have specifically children and pregnant women in them so that the lead doesn't continue to eradicate them. And lastly, we got to find a cheap way to do it and do it effectively by creating a jobs program to do it right, getting people from our community to be trained in lead service pipe removal.
Thank you so much, State Representative Cam Buckner. I'm sorry, I should have said it earlier. So we're going from alphabetical order from last name. Jamal Green, you have time to answer the question.
Hey, cut my mic off. I can't. My brother. First of all, thank you guys so much for being here. I want to thank Reverend Vinon. Love even being in this room and in this church and all that you are doing and the history that you are continuing to teach. In regards to our lead problem, you know, Cam Pam is exactly right. You know, this is a problem that's been going on for many years. We don't know the effects, right? When you talk about young kids that are constantly drinking lead water each and every day in these neighborhoods, this must be addressed. We got over 380,000 lead pipes. Lori Lightfoot claimed that she would move forward a plan, and there's federal dollars that came through an infrastructure fund and already that it's already a pulse mark for removing lead pipes if they haven't used it. They've changed 400 in the last 4 years out of the 380,000. We have to prohibit lead service lines in our city. We need a massive jobs program and make sure that the unions have first dibs on the jobs here and make it easier for folks in the neighborhoods to be a part of, whether it's an apprenticeship, to be a part of those good paying jobs, because this can be a great way to get folks in the field as well as, I'm sorry, I see you now. Your hand, this is the hand right here. Okay, I got it. As well as make sure that they got a pipeline to a middle-class lifestyle.
Thank you. Next is Alderman Roderick Sawyer.
Thank you. I really would, and this is one of those questions where I think you're not going to get too much of a different answer. I do join in what Representative Buckner stated as related to our on-hands, on-deck of policy that we have to do. This is a several billion dollar issue that we have to acknowledge, and we want to make sure that we do it and do it first for those that are least able to afford to pay for it. So one of the things that I think we should be proposing, although I'm not a big TIF fan, the concept of a residential TIF with the sole purpose of replacing these pipes might be a viable option where we can pay for the ones in the most blighted areas, for those that need it most that can't afford to pay for it, and we can work it out that way. But again, that's the federal help. We need proper allocation, like Mr. Green stated, of those federal dollars that we were receiving. And it has to be, again, I don't know how many times I'm going to say this today, it's got to be the intentionality that you want to have this done. And that starts at the top. You have to make sure that you have an official that really understands that this is a serious problem that needs to be addressed immediately. And I think that this is something that I would safely say that we all will, if any one of us, but I'm going to say as me as mayor, will accomplish right away working together with individuals from the state and federal side.
Thank you so much. Former CPS CEO Paul Vellis.
There's no greater priority than to remove lead from the water now, and you can't wait 10, 15, 20 years to replace the lead pipes. Lead filtration system, water filtration systems need to be made available to every house. There's the financial resources to do that, period. Let me also point out, even when you replace all the lead pipes, and there is accelerated technology that allows you to do that right away, you still have cancer-causing contaminants in the drinking water, and the Tribune did an expose about all the other cancer-causing contaminants. So even the lead pipe replacements is not going to address that issue. Insofar as lead pipe replacements, you can use TIF monies, as my colleagues have indicated. You can issue bonds, amortize interest, pay for the TIF monies from revenues that will be available when the existing tax increment financing districts expire, and you could use that money, you could raise billions to not only do lead pipe replacement, to do affordable housing, to do other environmental remediation throughout the communities that have long been neglected. But there's no greater priority. If Flint and if Newark can get the lead out of their water, it's literally in record time, Chicago should too.
Thank you. Hello.
Dr. Barbara Norman will have the second question. Oh,
thank you. Am I on? For my question relates to health, public health. As mayor of the city of Chicago, do you pledge to rebuild the Chicago Department of Public Health and employ more public health nurses, public health educators, community health workers, and reopen
the community-based clinics, maternal child health clinics, mental health, and for the resident and hire residents from the community, pay them full wages, plans they receive full benefits, as for paying these outside private contractors to come in our community to do the job. That's my question. And yes, no, and how you gonna do it?
Thank you. Thank you. So we're going in the same order. So State Representative Cam Buckner, you're first to answer.
Thank you for the question. So the answer is absolutely yes, to begin with. Secondly, I'll say that the privatization of our public health system has been one of the most egregious slights against this community that I've seen in a very long time, right? Privatization of public health, in fact, makes it not public health anymore. It makes it a for-profit system that does not do what it's supposed to do for the people that it's supposed to work for. When we look at what this pandemic taught us about our priorities in public health, the light that has been shown on us, we know we got to do a much, much better job. So I pledge not only to reopen the mental health clinics, as well as have four of those clinics be 24-hour clinics, but we've also pledged to do a better job of the maternal clinics, the community-based clinics, and we have to have a real conversation about the fact that HIV/AIDS, the numbers are going down in every single community in this country except for the African-American community. And we know that we have service-based providers doing the work on the ground who are not getting the dollars, not getting the resources. The City of Chicago Department of Public Health has to change that.
Thank you. Jamal Green, you got it.
Absolutely, yes. You know, what's happened under this administration and previous administrations with privatizations is utterly ridiculous, and we got to stop standing for it. What happened many years ago under the Emanuel administration when he shut down, they decided to shut down the mental health clinics, you know, all these years later, we're still trying to fight this administration to reopen them, and she has came forward to say that she's not. This is a travesty. We need to make sure that we reopen up the mental health clinics throughout the city of Chicago. And, you know, they also have an ordinance in place, treatment, not trauma, and we need to support that ordinance so that we have the dollars, you know, for public health in those clinics. Now, one of our ideas with the clinics is, you know, we like to call them wellness centers or healing houses, where we can really tackle mental health holistically, where there are institutions that people want to go and we can address the stigma on mental health, where it's not just, you know, psychiatry or treatment, it's yoga, it's boxing, it's massage therapy, it's spa services. We need institutions that have all of the different ways that you can tackle mental health holistically, and those are the ones that we want to build.
Thank you. Next is for Commissioner Brandon Johnson.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. And I do apologize for my tardiness. The last church that I raised me, and you know how we get. But yes, I'm definitely in favor of all that which you laid out. In fact, the treatment, not trauma ordinance, the chief sponsor of that has endorsed my candidacy. The treatment, not trauma movement is behind my candidacy. And so, look, let's just say it, okay? Privatization has been one of the wicked tools used against black people. It's why I fought against privatization, right? Where black teachers were fired, black children were undermined. So privatization schemes are not only wicked, but it is very costly because we see what it looks like in our school buildings.
And that is all for today. This was from the People's Response Network 2023 Chicago Mayoral Forum. You can see more of it on YouTube. Just go to People's Response Network 2023 Chicago Mayoral Forum. When half of the candidates were there to express their views and make themselves distinguished from their opponents. That's all for now. I'm Naima Latif. You've been listening to On Air Daily News. Join us tomorrow. Until that time, enjoy your day.